On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, the Oilers continue to roll in Vancouver. Who will win the Oilers the most amount of games on the trade market, and how the Oilers turn Nail Yakupov into Stuart Skinner. All that much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to Locked On Oilers Podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers Game Day producer Brett Holden. On today's episode, we're going to start off with the massive win for the Edmonton Oilers over the Vancouver Canucks as they win their sixth straight against the Canucks. There were a lot of headlines heading into that one, not so much on the Edmonton Oilers. We will talk about that one in just a second, but also on today's episode, as the trade deadline slowly approaches and the Edmonton Oilers are starting to get on this run, do the Edmonton Oilers still need help, and who will win the Edmonton Oilers the most amount of games on the trade market? We will talk about that in just a little later on. That will be in the second period of today's episode. And to wrap up today's episode, how the Edmonton Oilers turn Nail Yakupov into Stuart Skinner. Yes, an unlikely turn of events. All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Where we are going to get started today, though, is with the Edmonton Oilers and the Vancouver Canucks, as Hockey Day in Canada wrapped up with a very, very headline-filled matchup between the Edmonton Oilers and the Vancouver Canucks. The Edmonton Oilers heading into that one looking for their sixth straight victory, the fourth of those six coming on the road. Had to do some quick mental math there. The fourth of which coming on the road for the Edmonton Oilers, where the Vancouver Canucks were going into that game knowing that it was going to be Bruce Boudreau's final game behind the bench. An emotional game. An emotional game, especially for the Vancouver Canucks fans and especially for Vancouver Canucks players, as even Tyler Myers, the game before, said that, you know what, the Vancouver Canucks felt it against the Colorado Avalanche. They felt the fans, they felt the whole situation get to them, and it was no different between the Edmonton Oilers and the Vancouver Canucks. The Canucks did start off with a very good start, lots of shots, very good cycles in their own end, and started on time, but it only took one shot for the Edmonton Oilers, and more specifically, Connor McDavid, to score and open the scoring in this one. Connor McDavid's 40th goal, yes, 40th goal of the season. He is the fastest player to 40 goals since 1999. Think about how long 1999 was. Yes, I was born before that, and I know some of you may think that I have the young brain, but I was born before then. 24 years ago was the last time a player scored 40 goals this quick. That player being a Vancouver Canuck, Pavel Bure. Yes, Pavel Bure, the last player to score 50 goals that quick in the NHL. Very impressive company for Edmonton Oilers, Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid did chip in and assist in that one. He has 88 points on the year. Now, the Edmonton Oilers would get to a 3-goal lead in this one, kind of putting it out of reach for the Edmonton Oilers. They were up 3-0 in this game, and this kind of goes hand in hand with how the Edmonton Oilers have been winning their games. Scoring first, keeping the pedal on the metal, and not letting the other team into the game, while also giving support for the goaltender in the net. For five of the six games, it had been Jack Campbell. For this game against the Vancouver Canucks, it was Stuart Skinner. 27 saves on 29 shots towards him. A very, very good return game for Stuart Skinner. For his first game in almost over a week, for his first game since the Monday game against the Los Angeles Kings. Actually, it was over a week, was it not? It would have been. That's a big game for Stuart Skinner. That's a big game for the Edmonton Oilers. Now, the usual suspects for the Oilers did show up in this one on the score sheet, as Zach Hyman scoring a goal, three assists, getting a point on all four goals for the Edmonton Oilers, was also announced as the first star of the week in the NHL this year, or this week, excuse me. Congratulations to Zach Hyman there. Leon Draisaitl getting one goal in this one, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins a goal and two assists with 3 points in this one. But yes, it was them showing up on the score sheet, but it was everybody else doing their job for the Edmonton Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers, now this game did end as expected over on moneypuck.com, which is a very great, very good resource, very great resource you can use to for hockey. But the expected goals in this game, 4.71 for the Oilers, 2.31 for the Vancouver Canucks. And that comes as a team. You may have noticed a couple of interesting deployments. Now, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Kaleem Costin did stay together relatively for most of the game. Matias Janmark also not in this game, as Jesse Puljujärvi did take his place on that line, but still played relatively well. In fact, Derek Ryan, Jesse Puljujärvi, and Kaleem Costin had the three lowest expected goals against on the Edmonton Oilers in this game. Derek Ryan with a 0.42, Jesse Puljujärvi with a 0.75, and Kaleem Costin with a 1.2. But yes, you hear Derek Ryan in that because Derek Ryan had one of the best lines and played on one of the best lines in this game for the Edmonton Oilers. Evander Kane, Leon Draisaitl, and Derek Ryan were deployed quite often for the Edmonton Oilers and has been kind of a talking point here and there for the Edmonton Oilers as well, as you see why. Because as a line, the expected goals against for Evander Kane, Leon Draisaitl, and Derek Ryan sat at a 0.03. Their expected goals for sat at a 0.38, which was second on the Edmonton Oilers in the game. Now, you don't expect Derek Ryan to be mentioned in offensive deployment, but he has played really well playing with Leon Draisaitl and adding a little bit of grit with Evander Kane, who can also play in his own end. In fact, Evander Kane was fourth on that list in expected goals against individually with Derek Ryan, Jesse Puljujärvi, and Kaleem Costin. He was fourth on that list there. Now, an interesting line that was also deployed for the Edmonton Oilers. Now, the Oilers did go 11-7 once again in this game. So Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Kaleem Costin were paired up, but Nugent-Hopkins did get an interesting deployment with Connor McDavid and Zach Hyman. We mentioned that the Kane, Draisaitl, Ryan line were second in expected goals for. Hyman, McDavid, and Nugent-Hopkins were first with 0.99. The Edmonton Oilers have been deploying the lines in very interesting ways in this six-game win streak, and we see why, because they have so many different abilities playing together. And all those players have chemistry. There's a difference between having the way that guys like Todd McClellan and Dave Tippett would then all of a sudden change the lines for the Edmonton Oilers, and all of a sudden you don't have chemistry with players because you're running a 12-6 system, and all throughout the week or all throughout practice the last couple of days, you've only ran those lines. Now all of a sudden the things aren't going right, and then the lines are all jumbled up, and you're playing with people you haven't played with in maybe 5 weeks, and maybe if ever. But here, with the system that Jay Woodcroft has, each of these players have some sort of familiarity with each other, creating chemistry and creating great lines. Really like the deployment from the Edmonton Oilers in this one. A mature third period. And yes, the Edmonton Oilers did lead 3-0 and would go on to win the game 4-2 with an empty netter. But a big game, nonetheless, for the Edmonton Oilers as they look to improve and to a 7-game win streak on Wednesday when the Columbus Blue Jackets come to town from Calgary and Johnny Gaudreau returns to Edmonton as not a Calgary Flame, but a Columbus Blue Jacket. We will talk about that game tomorrow. But what we're going to move on to is, yes, more trade talks. The Edmonton Oilers have been better over these last 6 games. You can even kind of throw the Los Angeles Kings game in as a little bit of a turning point for the Edmonton Oilers. But how does that change the Edmonton Oilers' approach to trading for a defenseman and who will win them the most amount of games? We will talk about that in just a second, but first, today's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started using AG1 because I wanted something that optimized my immune system, bettered my gut health, and I didn't want to do that using a whole bunch of different pills and vitamins with a supplement that actually tastes great. That's exactly what I get with AG1. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, your focus, your aging, all of the things. All of the things. All while still being lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it is all good for you. Plus, it contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, no artificial anything, all while still tasting great. Plus, it costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is recommended by professional athletes. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That is it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is head to athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the daily nutritional insurance. Alrighty, let's get into some trade talk. Now, the Athletic has a little bit of a fun feature that they're going to be updating every Monday, I believe I read, that they created player cards for each player in the NHL for each team. So, what I have done here is gone on to each team and taken a look at those player cards for players the Edmonton Oilers are rumored to be interested in or have been rumored to be linked to this season. Now, I have picked 4 of those names, and I wanted to talk about their player cards because the Athletic has added this statistic or number, I guess, or metric, I guess. That's a pretty interesting one. It is called the GSVA, or the game score valued, or game score value, excuse me, added. Game score value added. Now, again, I'm not a big analytical guy, but what I do like to see is basically digestible ways to talk about these advanced stats, secondary stats, analytics, those types of things. Now, what GSVA is basically like what WAR is in baseball, wins above replacement. Basically, the amount of wins a player adds to the team when he is in the lineup. So I've taken four of the Edmonton Oilers targets and compared them, and I want to bring them to light to you so you can decide which player you think will help the Edmonton Oilers the most. I've picked Vladislav Gavrikov, Jacob Chychrun, Joel Edmondson, and Matt Dumba. Now, of course, there may be a couple of caveats to these because most of these players play on pretty horrendous hockey teams. So there may be some things to keep in mind and maybe a matter of a grain of salt to be remembered with some of these numbers, but we will explain those as those come up. Let's start off with Vladislav Gavrikov. As Gavrikov has been quite an interesting name that's been coming around the Edmonton Oilers basically since last year for the Oilers. And one thing that keeps coming up with Gavrikov is A, the connection between Gavrikov and David Savard that the Tampa Bay Lightning did trade for David Savard. There obviously being David Savard coming from Columbus, so teams would naturally, or the Columbus Blue Jackets would naturally go, okay, this is a similar player. This is what we got for David Savard. It would make sense to sell him at a similar price. That price is pretty high considering it included a first round pick in that deal. Then you can also take a look at the Ben Chiarot deal that we are still currently living through, as that pick is now owned by the Montreal Canadiens in the Ben Chiarot deal. And there is a possibility now, with it being an unprotected first round pick, that the Montreal Canadiens can have a first overall and second overall pick because of the poor season the Florida Panthers have had. That is something that some teams may start, maybe not start, because I'm sure this has been something in the back of their minds for a very long time, but something that will now be much more prevalent with it happening this year with the Florida Panthers. And I'm not saying that the Edmonton Oilers should be hesitant on giving up their first round pick this year, but they should be hesitant on who they are trading that pick to and who they are trading that pick for. So let's start off with Gavrikov. Because with these player cards, what they do is they show you the percentile these players are better at, or at least are getting more of in the NHL, especially at their position. So Gavrikov is getting 80%, is in the 80 percentile, excuse me, of ice time amongst defensemen in the NHL. Now, he is also being used mostly defensively, or at least in defensive positions or defensive situations. And with that, he is in the 6th percentile in defensive plus minus. The 6th percentile. That means his numbers are better than 6% of the NHL. That's not very good. That is maybe third pairing type stuff. Then you get to his points, which is a little more salvageable, especially for a player who is not offensively inclined at all. His goals is 43rd percentile. His assists is 42nd percentile, and so is his points. Again, considering he's a defensive defenseman, those are okay numbers. But I led this whole segment off with the games or the GSVA, the game score, the GS, the WAR, essentially. Gavrikov sits at a 14th percentile, or at the 14th percentile in GSVA, with a minus 0.8, and is slated for an even negative 1 GSVA this season. He's on pace for a negative GSVA this year. That means he has cost the Columbus Blue Jackets a game already this year, basically. He has cost them. He's not letting or winning hockey games for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, remember that caveat that we started off with for the start of this. Most of these players are playing on pretty bad teams, and the Columbus Blue Jackets just lost, as we spoke, in overtime. They are the worst team in the NHL by points. That is not by my opinion. So they are on a bad team. And Gavrikov, when you take a look at the rest of the team, is in the middle of the pack. Zach Werenski is out for the rest of the year for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and he has the best on-pace GSVA at a 1.7. Then comes Adam Boqvist at a 0.0 for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and then comes Jake Beam for the Columbus Blue Jackets. After Jake Beam is Vladislav Gavrikov, so essentially, with Werenski's injury, Gavrikov would sit third on the Columbus Blue Jackets in GSVA. For a guy who's getting top-pairing numbers, that's not good enough. Or top-pairing time, I should say. Especially considering he is being used, well, in ice time, or has the 80th percentile in ice time in the NHL. Is that really worth a first-round pick? No, I wouldn't say so. Now, the interesting thing is Daily Faceoff said with Vladislav Gavrikov, yes, I gave you those two trades earlier on with David Savard and Ben Chiarot as examples, but Daily Faceoff also used the Brett Kulak trade from last year as a potential comparable for a trade as well if the price does come lower for other teams, which I will remind you was William Lagesson and a second round pick that turned into Lane Hudson. At the time, a lot of people were going, a second round pick and William Lagesson? I almost called him William Carlson. And William Lagesson? What? I was one of those people. I was going, why would you toss in Lagesson too? And when he's doing basically the exact same job that Kulak's going to be doing. Well, one's in the NHL right now and one isn't. But that's starting to look, that would be more of a price that I would pay for Vladislav Gavrikov. Now, I say that because there are three other defensemen on here. One of them is just out of this world when it comes to these numbers, but two with a little bit more of maybe comparable to Gavrikov, but more of a price tag to them as well, at least one that has been reported on. The first one is Joel Edmondson. Joel Edmondson has been reported to be worth, or at least the price tag to be worth, a first round pick and a prospect. To which I say, excuse me? Joel Edmondson? And then you take a look at his player card and you go, excuse me? A prospect and a first rounder? For what? For what? He is in the 76th percentile of ice time in the NHL and has a GSVA of 2%. 2%. He is better than 2% of the NHL in this war type stat for the NHL. He has a minus 1.6 GSVA right now and is on pace for a minus 2.3. He is on pace to cost his hockey team 2.3 games. Now, again, there's the caveat of them playing on really bad teams, and the Montreal Canadiens have lost Cole Caulfield, have gone through a bunch of injuries, and are basically now in another portion of their rebuild year, in a year that kind of started off a little more positive. He has the worst GSVA on the team. On the team. His defense or his offensive stats do not help him at all, as he is in the the 34th percentile in goals with 4, 30th percentile in assists with 13, 30th percentile in points with on pace. These are all on pace, with 17. Joel Edmondson, they also tracked the market value of these players and how much of a change between how much money they're actually making and their actual market value. Joel Edmondson has a market value change of minus $8.9 million. And has a league value or a market value of league minimum. Please explain to me why a player who is in not the first percentile, but the zero percentile, he is the single worst player in the NHL when it comes to defensive plus minus in the NHL. The worst, and is on pace for minus 43.2 defensive plus minus. And has been rumored to be at a trade value of a first-round pick and a prospect. Get out of here. If the Edmonton Oilers trade for Joel Edmondson, the Edmonton Oilers become worse. Vincent Desharnais does a better job in the NHL than Joel Edmondson does. I'm sorry, and it may be a relatively rash reaction. But it's these numbers don't lie. Those are horrendous. When it comes to Matt Dumba, a little bit more stomachable or palatable, digestible, whatever you want to say, he does have a market value change of $1.6 million. He is making $6 million, and his market value right now is $4.4 million. So that shows an actual decrease while still being able to stomach the decrease for a player like Matt Dumba. He has in ice time the 83rd percentile in the league when it comes to the ice time, I should say. 71st percentile in goals for defensemen. He has 4 this year and is on pace for 8. With the assists, he's in the 45th percentile with 8 assists this year, on pace for 18. And in the 51st percentile when it comes to points with 12, on pace for 26 on within defensemen. Now, my big number here that we are paying attention to is the best number amongst the two defensemen the three defensemen that we've talked about so far, and not better than the one that we will talk about that I think is actually worth a first round pick. But Matt Dumba, I think, is worth a first round pick, as he is in the 64th percentile when it comes to GSVA with a 0.6 right now and is on pace for an even 1. So he is winning games for his team, as opposed to Joel Edmondson and Vladislav Gavrikov. He is also in the 55th percentile or the 55th percentile in expected goals, is Matt Dumba. You can't remember the offensive upside Matt Dumba also has. But speaking of offensive upside, there is a guy that the Edmonton Oilers are targeting that is in the 91st percentile in ice time, 91st percentile in goals, or GSVA, 99th percentile in goals, 96th percentile in assists, 98th percentile in points, and is in the 100th percentile in expected goals. Yes, a defenseman in all of those numbers. Jacob Chychrun, who has upped his market value by $4 million and is up to an 8.6, while also being in the 55th percentile in defensive plus minus on one of the worst teams in the NHL. I know a lot of people go, the Edmonton Oilers have the exact same defenseman in Jacob Chychrun like 3 times. And you know what? With the rise in play of Philip Broberg and Evan Bouchard, I hear what you're saying. I can see Philip Broberg, and I've heard a lot of people saying that A, Philip Broberg and Dylan Holloway have become untouchable for the Edmonton Oilers, but B, that Philip Broberg can be as good, if not better, than Jacob Chychrun is right now by the end of the season. And we have seen that development so far these last couple of games that can support that argument. But his numbers do not look like this. And Jacob Chychrun is winning games for the Arizona Coyotes, for a team who doesn't want to win games. As mentioned, he is in the 91st percentile in the GSVA. Right now, he has won 1.1 games for the Coyotes since his return from injury and is on pace for 2.4 wins for the Arizona Coyotes, thanks to Jacob Chychrun. That's a player that's worth a first-round pick. That is a player who is going to be winning games for the Edmonton Oilers. And if the Edmonton Oilers are going to sell off their first-round pick, it better be for Jacob Chychrun or Matt Dumba. If it's for Gavrikov or for Joel Edmondson, I may be sick to my stomach. I'll understand Gavrikov more than Joel Edmondson, but I will still be mad. So the standings, I guess, goes Chychrun, Dumba, Gavrikov, and then Edmondson. What do you think? What do you want to see the Edmonton Oilers do? Either way, speaking of trades that have changed the entire complexion of the Edmonton Oilers, we're going to talk about one of those in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here, and we are really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they are the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, join today and get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel has your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Now, it is the playoffs, as I mentioned, and there are some pretty interesting lines heading into the conference finals. We have the San Francisco 49ers and the Philadelphia Eagles on one side and the Cincinnati Bengals and the Chiefs. Let's be real. We all want a Joe Scheisty and a Brock Purdy Super Bowl, and those lines are interesting. The 49ers coming into their matchup against the Eagles as underdogs on the money line, +120. Where the Cincinnati Bengals are coming in as the favorites at -126. That would be a pretty interesting parlay, if you ask me. Either way, it's all on an app that is safe, secure, and super easy to use. So, football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet and get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook of the NFL. Alrighty, let's wrap up today's episode with a little bit of a story. As I have, as mentioned, a story for you. This story starts back in 2012, on a fateful summer night in 2012, when the Edmonton Oilers stepped up to the podium and had a big decision in front of them at the NHL draft, deciding whether or not they were going to select this young stud defenseman from Everett, by the name of Ryan Murray, or this Sarnia Sting spark plug in Nail Yakupov. The Edmonton Oilers step up to the podium, and with the first overall selection in the 2012 NHL draft, the Edmonton Oilers are proud to select the Sarnia Sting, Nail Yakupov. And so began the story of one of the craziest first overall picks in hockey history. But one chapter that people seem to gloss over is how Neil Yakupov turned into Stuart Skinner for the Edmonton Oilers. Yes, Stuart Skinner. Because while the Edmonton Oilers were fighting with, are we going to keep Neil Yakupov or are we going to send him away? The Edmonton Oilers also picked up this interesting defenseman from Sweden by the name of Philip Larson. Philip Larson had some pretty interesting times as an Edmonton Oiler. And on February 24th, 2016, the Edmonton Oilers decided to send Philip Larson away to the Vancouver Canucks for a conditional fifth-round pick. Now, the condition on that fifth-round pick was that Philip Larson would maintain a 0.3 points per game average as a Vancouver Canuck, and if he did, it would become a fourth-round pick. However, Philip Larson couldn't keep up with a 0.3 points per game total, and that pick stayed as a fifth-round pick. The Edmonton Oilers would then hold on to that pick for a little while. And on October 7th, 2016, the Edmonton Oilers would make a deal, starting off the new year, sending that first overall pick in 2012, Neil Yakupov, to the St. Louis Blues for Zachary Pachiro and a 2017 conditional third round pick. Now, the fifth round pick that the Edmonton Oilers acquired in that deal for Philip Larson was also for in 2017. And the Edmonton Oilers would keep both of those picks until June 24th, 2017, where the Edmonton Oilers would send the 2017 third round pick from St. Louis, the 82nd overall pick, and the 2017 fifth round pick from Vancouver in the Philip Larson trade, which was number 126 in the draft, to the Arizona Coyotes in exchange for the 2017 third round pick from the Calgary Flames. Now, the Arizona Coyotes acquired that pick in a trade for Michael Stone. Arizona Coyotes traded Michael Stone, for a 2017 third-round pick that would then be sent off to the Edmonton Oilers. And the 2018 fifth-round pick, a conditional fifth-round pick, which turned into Akira Schmidt. And that trade, or that pick, was traded for Scott Wedgwood. Now, to get back to the draft day deal, the Edmonton Oilers sending that 2017 third and 2017 fifth in exchange for that 2017 third round pick. That 2017 third round pick would be the 78th overall selection in the 2017 draft. And with the 78th overall pick in the 2017 draft, the Edmonton Oilers came over the microphone and said, with the 78th overall pick, the Edmonton Oilers are proud to select from the Lethbridge Hurricanes goaltender Stuart Skinner. On that date, the Edmonton Oilers and the official trade turned into Stuart Skinner for Cameron Crotty and Michael Carroll. Cam Crotty and Michael Carroll have a combined 0 games played in the NHL. Both are currently playing in the AHL, one with the Tucson Roadrunners, the other with the Texas Rangers. Not the Texas Rangers, the Texas Stars. That would be impressive if he was playing for the Texas Rangers, but he's not. The other has played 41 games in the NHL, has a 2016-2 record in the NHL, a .913 save percentage, and a 2.88 goals against average. And this past week was named to the NHL All-Star Game. Stuart Skinner, the Edmonton Oilers acquired for Nail Yakupov. A very convoluted trade tree that is still going on for the Edmonton Oilers. I'm sure I did it no justice. But either way, I just thought that was a pretty interesting turnaround for the Edmonton Oilers, as technically, officially, the trade for Nail Yakupov was Nail Yakupov for Zachary Pachiro and Stuart Skinner. Pretty interesting to me. But either way, let me know some other trade trees that you want me to... Not really trade trees, because that's kind of Steve Dangle's thing, but some things to go through, some trades to go through that you want to learn more about in Edmonton Oilers history. Let's wrap it up there, folks. As mentioned, the Edmonton Oilers face off against the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow. We'll have a preview of that, or not tomorrow, on Wednesday, excuse me, but on tomorrow's episode, we will have a little bit more of a preview heading into that game as the Columbus Blue Jackets lose to the Calgary Flames tonight. Until then, I hope you have a wonderful day. I love you, Goose. Stay safe, and hopefully after that win against the Vancouver Canucks, all day you played La Bamba, baby.